It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.
Every idea starts with a problem. Warby Parker's was simple. Glasses are too expensive. So they set out to change that. By designing glasses in-house and selling directly to customers, they're able to offer prescription eyewear that's expertly crafted and unexpectedly affordable. Warby Parker glasses are made from premium materials like impact-resistant polycarbonate and custom acetate. And they start at just $95, including prescription lenses. Get glasses made from the good stuff. Stop by a Warby Parker store near you.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It took a lifetime to find the person you want to marry. Finding the perfect engagement ring is a lot easier. At BlueNile.com, you can find or design the ring you've always dreamed of with help from Blue Nile's jewelry experts who are on hand 24/7 to answer questions and the ease and convenience of shopping online. For a limited time, get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code LISTEN at BlueNile.com.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Oh, I'm going to have to put echo on that one again, aren't I?
Oh, that would make a great effect.
That would be good, wouldn't it? In fact, that was good, wasn't it?
Yes.
That was good.
I was going to go with, good morning, Vietnam! But I thought I'd change it. Well, I've done two intros now.
No, I'm not going to put the echo on the second one.
No, leave that one plain.
Yeah.
The first one was better.
Yeah, definitely. Right, we'll I thought so. But needs echo or reverb or something.
Yeah, we'll pizzazz it up a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you want to know what we got on this week? Yeah, you can see the book in front of you, can't you?
Judging by the book, I'm guessing...
What's it going to be? Is it going to be a deep dive? Is it going to be an interview? Is it going to be a push?
I think you're going to have a interview. We're going to have a lovely interview with... Mike, and I believe he sounds like a real handsome dude, I think.
I think he probably is quite a handsome dude. Let's put him on camera and see what he looks like.
Oh, there he is.
How you doing, Mike?
All right, yeah. I'm not sure about the handsome. I've got too much to live up to.
Nah, that's good. Got piercings, tattoos. Handsome to me, mate.
Okay, so can I say how we came across Mike? What his book is about?
Go for it.
Okay, his book is called Ape Men Aping Men.
I like that.
Okay. And obviously, I think you can probably guess, it is a book primarily about Bigfoot. We've got to tread carefully here because we haven't done a Bigfoot episode yet. Mm. You've got a big one planned for later this year.
Yeah. It's in the pipeline.
And I'm going to recommend you read this book before you do that. Because
I will.
There's a lot of interesting information in this book. But Mike contacted me, sent us, an email saying, I've written this book, but no one's buying it. Do you reckon you could plug it for me? And I said, let me give it a read. And I give it a read. And it's a pretty good book, so I'm going to plug it.
You have had a lot of good things to say about it.
It is. Yeah, I like it. Let's put it to Mike. Let's ask Mike. What made you write this book, mate?
The internet.
You can tell us a little bit about your background and, you know, create a bit of a general story if you like.
Sorry. I think there's a lot to be said for a lot of things within the paranormal realm. especially cryptozoology, being an amateur zoologist, sort of conservationist myself, animals and wildlife has always been my big thing. So cryptozoology, since I was about 10 years old, it's just been something I've been drawn to. I love the idea of not knowing stuff, you know? One of the things that I do have is a brain, though. So I'm not going to blindly believe something just because somebody tells me it's true. I think it's ridiculous to do that. And there's an awful lot. There's no way that there's, like, you know, tens of thousands of Bigfoot sightings across America every year. It's just not true. You know, a lot of them, it's easily explainable, bears or whatever. And I just was getting more and more wound up by the approach of people, especially online, that it's, I believe, therefore that's true, you know, and it just doesn't help. I think if anything, it has a negative effect on the, I won't call it a movement because that's not what it is, but on the whole realm of that, it means people won't take it seriously. And so I saw more and more and more of it and decided to start, it's not making notes, I started making bigger and bigger comments, started making more of a point in my comments, trying to explain why people couldn't say that and stuff like this. And then thought, well, I might as well just write it all down.
Before we go ahead, sorry, I probably just want to explain. You are a member of the Bigfoot Research Team UK. Is that right?
Yes.
What it's called?
That's correct.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that? And, you know, because obviously that's where you've come into contact with these people that are sort of...
So basically what we do is we investigate. If people send us reports, we investigate them and see what they are. Do I think Bigfoot is in the UK? The honest answer is I've got no proof either way. I would say I think it's unlikely, but that doesn't mean
I'm
right.
I think very unlikely. In the UK... Yeah, I think very unlikely. I'm not going to be so arrogant as to say I don't believe in it at all, or I don't think it's anywhere. I'm fairly on the fence about Bigfoot. But in the UK, I think if you have an encounter with something that you don't quite know what it is, it's more likely to be a big cat, which I know is also quite a big claim.
Not really.
Some people believe in them, some people don't.
I have had a big cat encounter, so...
So have I, particularly over in your neck of the woods, because you're Wales End, aren't you?
I am now, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in a town called Ludlow, just on the border of Wales, and I've had big cat encounters there as well. So that's, in the UK at least, my belief is anything that you could put down to like a cryptid encounter would more likely be a big cat.
Mm. I saw a big pigeon once. Like a really unusually big pigeon. To the point where it stopped me in my tracks, and I thought, where's he getting all the bird seed from? I'm being dead serious.
No, like, you're probably scared of it.
No, not the pigeon.
Oh, okay.
I'm scared of things without arms and legs. Fish, yeah, snakes, worms, all of that. But it was such a large pigeon, I generally thought it was like a house cat. But it wasn't until it flew or tried to fly away that I thought... That was an unusually large pigeon. Anyway, carry on.
Sorry, carry on, Mike.
No, it's all blame the pigeons. Maybe it was those governmental pigeons, the real ones, you know, with the cameras in them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the birds aren't real theory.
That's the one, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Cameras in their eyes. Carry on telling us about BFRT.
Bigfoot Research.
RTUK.
Yes. So that's what we set up, and then pandemic hit, so it kind of like had a bit of an effect on us. But we our remit is to investigate people's reports, and that. But obviously there's nothing conclusive. Otherwise, you know, we'd all be a different place. But it's,
do you research things outside of the UK as well, or is it only UK-based claims?
There's no reason why we couldn't. I've not done it, and none of us have done it that I'm aware of. We have associates that have definitely been abroad doing proper research in places far away, as like Russia and Indonesia and places like that. But they're more like friends of members than they are anything else.
I bet Russia's a good place to explore.
I reckon so.
I bet there's some, yeah.
Yeah.
I think
what you said... Oh, go on, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I think Indonesia would probably be one of the places that I think that's the most likely place to find conclusive evidence of any kind of ape-like creature that's undiscovered so far.
I was going to say, I liked what you said before about you were getting fed up with people just kind of making these claims, because I feel that what you're saying is very true. I kind of feel like it kind of takes the mystique and the mysteriousness out of these legends and this folklore, with the amount of, you know, rubbish and rumors that go around every year. You always see these claims of, I saw Bigfoot and I heard noises, and for me it just kind of takes it away from it, and it's actually having the opposite effect, where the more of the comments and the things I see of that nature, it makes me believe it a lot less, because I'm going, oh well, everyone's seeing Bigfoot now, and it's just kind of takes the mystique away from it.
I can see a logic there, totally. It's something that I've tried to fight in myself, because realistically, it doesn't, loads of wrong or fake sightings doesn't mean Bigfoot's not real. It just means there's lots of wrong fake sightings. So I try to remember that, because I grew up and the word cryptid and cryptozoology and that, they weren't bandied about, they weren't used. Everything, ghosts, glass skulls, you know, it was all the unexplained, and that was it. So, you know, the Patty footage was, it was all you had was that, a Yeti scalper and a stuffed fake monkey on a pole, you know, and that was all evidence you had for Bigfoot. And it was compelling, it was exciting, you know. And now every furry rock on the planet is a Bigfoot sighting, you know.
Yeah.
I don't want to give too much away, but I did an experiment, and I mentioned this in the book. I did an experiment where I picked one of the Facebook groups that I wasn't bothered about being kicked out of. And I'll be honest, and I posted a photo.
Oh, this is the picture.
Yeah, the picture's in
the book. Yeah, I think it comes up earlier in the book as well. So sorry, I think you put it in there twice. I think it's in there a little bit earlier, where it just randomly there's a picture of a forest and you see, yeah, here it is. How many cryptids can you see in this picture? And I was like, well, that's a bit weird, putting that in the middle of nowhere, like a completely different, irrelevant part of the book. And then I got further on, and then you started saying about you posting this picture online, and I'll let you pick up from there.
So it was just me and my brother and our other ours wandering around the woods in Northampton, Selsey Forest, I think it's called. And take your photographs, because I'm an amateur photographer. I couldn't find any wildlife, so just take some photographs of the trees, you know. And I had this idea, so I took this photograph, which is literally just some trees in Northamptonshire, and posted it in the group. And all I put was, I can't remember the exact wording, but it was something along the lines of, I went for a walk and felt like I was being followed, took this photo, what do you think? I tried to keep it as ambiguous and non-leading as possible. And that was just before I went to bed. I woke up about, say what, 7 hours later, and I don't know how many replies I've got. There were people that had taken my photograph and had circled what they could see in the photograph. There was three Bigfoots there. There was a Bigfoot over there. There was one teleporting in over there. And it was just a photograph I'd taken on a walk. And so I came clean that evening, so less than 24 hours after posting it. And everybody was fine. Everyone was like, okay, and I put an apology. You know, look, I know I shouldn't have done it. I just wanted to prove a point. And then a little bit later, this woman found it in the comments section. She's like, this, you shouldn't have done it. And it's like, the group has to be, you have to have your posts approved. So it's some admin somewhere has thought this was an okay thing to post. You know, I haven't been mowed down. All of a sudden, I've picked out the group.
To be honest, though, I imagine that was a very humbling experience for those people that thought that they could see it.
I think it proved a very good point, because in the book, you have a chapter where you go through and you've categorized all the people that sort of you found online. You know, obviously, there's believers, there's skeptics, there's hijackers. And you go through a couple more that you give your own sort of little pet names, and you explain their own characteristic. And it's true of almost all paranormal research groups or investigations. You'll get people who are just believe it no matter what, or disbelieve it no matter what, or they come into the group and they go, this is what I believe and none of what anybody else matters. You know, and like he's gone through and categorized all of them. I love that chapter.
Did you do the quiz?
And I did.
What? Can I quickly...
I'm not telling you my result.
Can I quickly tell you how I feel about Bigfoot and see if you can quickly categorize me?
Yeah.
Does it work that way?
Can. Of course you can.
So I've always got... I'll keep it brief because obviously Bigfoot's a bit of a complicated thing. I've always felt like now in 2024, me as a person, I feel that Bigfoot used to exist but has become extinct over the years. So I do believe that Bigfoot was around, used to exist, and is real. I just don't know if, you know, if they're still around today.
Yeah.
Does that, so I don't know what that would make me.
No, I mean,
I am a believer.
I would suggest makes you perfectly rational. I don't think you would be classed as a believer or a skeptic. You're not hot. You'd be sort of like, you know, an ordinary, I'd say believer with a small b, not believer with a capital B. Because that's actually one of the theories going around is that Bigfoot is now extinct. It's not something that I think can be discounted at all.
One of my take on it, what I've always said is, I don't necessarily believe or disbelieve in Bigfoot, but if it is to be real, it has to have some kind of population. Now, I know you've covered this in your book as well. People can read about that. But for it to be a substantial population enough to carry it through generations and decades and centuries, surely we would have seen some kind of like confirming evidence of it. So maybe your theory is right. The extinction event may be correct. It may be that people have only seen Bigfoots or had witness to Bigfoots because of dwindling numbers.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a population that's declining, going endangered. That's my take.
I don't have a take other than the fact that I'm fairly confident that they at least have been. I don't think we should be discounting possibilities because we've got no proof. This is the whole crux of it. You've got no proof that Bigfoot exists. No, and we've got no proof that it doesn't either. Do you know? There's enough evidence, none of it conclusive, there's enough evidence out there to warrant taking it at least semi-seriously. But the problem is, we are looking at it through modern eyes, whereby we're used to there being thousands of sightings a year. We're used to seeing photos of leaves and sticks and boulders and, you know, sticks at a formation like that, and people going, oh, that's a Bigfoot shelter. Well, Bigfoot must be 3'2" if it's a Bigfoot shelter, you know. but we're so used to it being such a commonly reported thing. Even if you go back like 20, 30 years, it wasn't like that. You know, the sightings were few and far between.
And like you point out, some of the classic Bigfoot evidence, I can't remember, what was the one called where it was the Bigfoot looking back at the camera,
Patty,
as they're walking away back in Patty, that's it. That is the absolute classic Bigfoot photo, isn't it?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I liked, that gripped me to this book, that made me want to read on and obviously have you on the podcast, was literally your opening statement going, we just don't know. There's evidence for it, there's evidence against it, we just don't know. All we can do is sift through this evidence and come to some conclusions as you know, intellectual and, you know, scientific as we can. But that's the thing. I mean, particularly when you're looking back in history, there are just a couple of things that have come to light. And then obviously with the age of the internet, now it's like UFOs, isn't it? Everybody's posting videos going, I saw a Bigfoot. You know, it's like you said before, no, it's just a bear.
Yeah.
Or something like that, you know?
Yeah. You see that all the time as well, don't you, with ghost videos? Because we've done it before at work where we've watched ghost videos. and you'll see a comment and it will say, oh, did anyone hear that scream from the woods in the background? And you'll listen to it and you're straight away, our ears.
That's a sheep.
Like, it's a sheep, or that sounds like a fox, or you know what I mean? Like you say, it's easily explainable, but maybe to people that don't get out of the house enough or have anything to do with nature, they're not going to know what that is. But I find it very bizarre that people just kind of make claims, but then there isn't evidence to back it up. But
I think part of it is because people don't want to admit they don't know something. I do think that plays a big part of it. We've reached this point society-wise, almost globally, where facts aren't as important as opinions. And so there's no such thing as facts, which is completely wrong, obviously. Mm. But on top of that, it's also like you can't be wrong. Now, how can you learn anything if you're never wrong? You can't. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
but there's a big pride thing of being right all the time, you know, and I think that plays a big part of it. I think we're at this point where everybody's so definite, and that's why it's because there's I mean, I've said it 1,000 times in real life. My opinions will change in a 10 seconds time if I see something that convinces me that the evidence that I've seen is not quite as accurate as the evidence in front of me. You know, because we need to, we're supposed to change our opinions based on the evidence, you know?
Yes.
Yeah, we do that all the time on the podcast.
It's so important. It's vital. And going back to what you were just saying, I mean, sounds, I mean, anybody, if I mean, I'm sure you guys probably know, but go onto YouTube, take fallow deer, red deer, roe deer, you know, the big local deer sort of thing, rather than the smaller introduced ones, and just listen to their calls, listen to their mating calls and things like that. They're terrifying. If I was in the woods and I heard that, I'd be up a tree, you know.
Mate, yeah, you're absolutely right. I hear them all the time when I'm getting to the tractor in the morning, and particularly in the winter. When the rut's on for the deer, and you're like, crikey, I don't want to get near that.
Yeah, you can hear them from miles.
I accidentally found myself in the middle of a red deer rut in Richmond Park once. It was terrifying. And this was in daylight, you know, and it's me and my camera, and I'm just like, I'm just going to stand up against this tree and I ain't moving. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
They're the big old things.
Bigger than
you think.
They are. But that's actually a very good point in what you said as well, because side story here, that's the one thing they say about Gene Simmons from Kiss is he's got this trait about him where if he is proved wrong, he has no problem shaking your hand and saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong. And it's a trait that a lot of people don't have. And it's the one trait of his that people remember because it's so unusual to actually just admit that you're wrong. And
for someone who's as big-headed as Gene Simmons, it would be.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
It's nice to hear a good story about Gene Simmons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting that like these people were saying nice things about him, and that was the one thing they said was he's got no problem admitting when he's wrong.
It's good. We should all have it. It just baffles me. I'm wrong all the time. Christ, perfect.
No, but some people, like you say in your book, when you categorize the different people, they have a firm belief in one thing and they will not back down on it. Mm. And that is across all the board of paranormal stuff, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And then going back to, like you said, about back in history, all we had was just the odd photograph here and there that pop up once every 10 years. Nowadays, we have hundreds of photographs all the time. People are always posting photographs. Oh, look, I found something weird. I found out. Oh, can you see that? And one of the things that is always stated, you know, that I'm building up to your book again here now, is people always ask, why are pictures of paranormal stuff so filmy and grainy and blurry and just terrible image quality?
Mm-hmm. I've said it.
Mike addresses this very well in this book.
Okay.
Do you want to give a small brief outline on? Because you give an example of a photo where you took of a nightjar bird and gave two separate examples One's very dark because obviously it's a nightjar, so it's at night. One is very dark, just the natural photograph, and one is after he's photoshopped it and brought out the detail.
Okay.
And
it's still crappy.
I would say the quality of the photograph doesn't matter, but I would say that, like, most of the time, people are complaining about the unedited one, the unphotoshopped version, because that's just the way it came from the camera, and all we have as cameras these days is what we're carrying on us, which is our phones. And now the market is flooded with all these grainy crap videos and photos, and everybody's going, well, you know, we got photos that can take a picture of a black hole in another galaxy. Why can't we get a clear photo of a ghost or a Bigfoot? And Mike does a very good job of explaining that in this book, I think.
It's basically settings, you know. Your cameras, whether you go out with a nice top-of-the-range DSLR or whether you go out with a Nokia in your phone, in your pocket, you know, it doesn't make a difference. You're taking photographs at an extreme distance, usually, or in low lighting, whether that's outside or in the woodland. You're taking it while you're on the move and your subject is on the move. So all of which give you different types of blur for a start, you know, and that plays a massive part. There's adrenaline. So you're taking a photograph like that, whether that's excitement or fear, that's going to not help things. You can't expect,
your hands are shaking. Yeah.
You know, you can't expect photographs like that. People are spoiled by photographs taken and they see in magazines and books and stuff like that. To get those shots, most of the time, most animal photographs you see in a book, the person taking those photographs has camped out by that animal's walkway, drinking area, food point, nest, whatever, for 2-3 weeks beforehand, so they get used to him being there.
Yeah,
you know, you can't do that when you go, oh, look at that, wow, it just doesn't work. You know, and I think I say in there something along the, you know, if you're not sure, go out at dusk with a camera and then literally walk 100 yards from like a road sign or something like that. Just take your phone out of your pocket, take a picture and put it back. Don't pause, just take a picture and put it back in your pocket. Or drive past, get your mate to drive you past somebody, take a picture out the window. It won't come out very well.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
A good example of that is to what you're saying about the quality and the editing that people do on photos. Is when they do food adverts, it's like they use PVA glue for like the cheese of a pizza.
And all the food is frozen and just painted to look like it's actually.
And for like, I think it's for like frothy coffees and stuff, they actually use like shaving foam and things. So they're using this stuff that isn't real to make it look better. So I see what you're saying with the quality and the photos. You could easily do that kind of thing, but the actual original is obviously not going to be as good as the edited version.
When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton Tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's Family Carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are, so you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or whether you should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart, and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This is it. And even an edited version under those, you can't create what's not there. So you can't take that photograph of a nightjar and make a good photograph of it. There's no lighting to give you the proper detail. It's taken an extreme zoom as well. So there's a lot of shake blur on there. Yeah, all of which removes detail. When you take an image or even a video footage and you enhance it, all you can do to enhance it is enhance what's there. So if somebody's showing you patty footage, and they go, look at this, and you can see the face, all the facial features. They've made it up themselves because it's impossible to put them in.
I mean, I know about a little bit about this, what you're talking about, because I used to do astrophotography. And obviously when you're taking pictures of a black sky at night to capture stars, you have to take long exposures and then stack them on top of each other and then run them through a program to remove literally remove all the noise from it so you actually get a clean image. It's hard. It's expensive. And
that's with a proper camera.
With a proper camera and telescope, and you know, you have to rig it up to a laptop and stuff, and like, yeah, if you want to get decent photographs, you have to have a very expensive rig to get that done. So I mean, yeah, taking pictures of cryptids or anything at night, or just even in the daytime, if you like, you say over great distances. I took a picture. Here's an update. Right, when I broke my foot. This is something that's only come to me since I turned 40. I started getting interested in the birds that were in my garden. I put a bird seed feeder up,
you
remember?
And bloody birds.
Yeah, mate. I know. And the other day, all I pretty much got was sparrows, right, to start with. I started altering what feed I was putting out. I put peanuts out. I started getting blue tits and great tits and coal tits and blackbirds. Put mealworms out. And then I went into... sunflower seed hearts, and I put a feeder of that out. Nothing touched it for 2 months. Nothing touched it. The other day, I saw a goldfinch on my feeder.
Nice.
I took a picture of it. It's blurry. You can't really tell that it's a goldfinch unless you actually hold it up next to another picture of a goldfinch. But my missus wasn't believing me. Today, while I was setting up for this podcast, I looked out through the window and there was a goldfinch sat on top of my rose arch. So I tapped on the conservatory door to get my girlfriend to come through. And she was like, what is it? And I was like, it's a goldfinch up there. It's just sat up on the rose arch above the feeder. And she leaned very slowly out. And she went, I can't see it. I went, what? And I leaned out. And there was two of them sat actually on the feeder. Two of them. And, well, she wasn't looking at the feeder. She was looking above it. When I pointed out to her, and then she believed me. But that's the thing. Sometimes people just have to see things for themselves, don't they? Again, here's another example, right?
Hang on. First of all, if anyone's playing bird bingo and you got blue tit and goldfinch, well done to you. You've won. I did not expect you to list like four or five different birds there. So if you're playing bird bingo, well done. You've won there. I didn't expect you to go through so many birds. Carry on.
On a Bigfoot episode, yeah.
Yeah.
I expect that, yeah. But again, right, okay, so here's another take. Bigfoot, obviously, right, we've already discussed, if it's got a population, it's not a massive population because it's still in hiding, yeah? But will people believe it's real even if you find one? Because let's go back through history to the discovery of Australia. And when they were going through Australia, categorizing a lot of the animals that were discovered there, it took 30 years for anyone to believe that the duck-billed platypus example that they caught, I presume it was dead and stuffed, but they brought one back from Australia, presented it to England. It took 30 years for people to believe that it was an actual real creature.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, what's going to happen if we do find Bigfoot?
I'm still not convinced platypus are real anyway. I've never seen one.
I don't think you saw a goldfinch. I don't know what is happening. Pirate's examples have gone wild.
It's just
wild.
A sparrow with a party hat on.
He's gone bird mad. Right.
A platypus isn't a bird.
No, you went bird mad, and then...
All right, it's got a duck bill, but that's as close as it gets to a bird.
Obviously, it's not a bird. It's such a unique animal. But are platypus as rare as Bigfoot?
Oh, that's a good question.
How often are platypus running around in Australia?
Underwater, no.
Yeah. I don't know.
Are Bigfoot in caves?
We don't know. Well, here's one of the other things that Mike actually does, because this is quite a short book, actually. But he has got this massive glossary of just about every kind of cryptid, ape man, Bigfoot type creature that you've got. And he's listed everywhere that they have been sighted in the world. And how many is there here, Mike? Is it 114,
I think.
So yeah, 114 places.
Across all of those places.
No, 114 different creatures.
Different creatures found around the world.
114 reports of and the names.
A zing zing. Nice.
Yeah.
That'd be I just threw darts at a dictionary and made it all up, obviously.
No, this must have taken you quite a long time to go through and make this glossary of different names for these different cryptid creatures that are ape-like.
We've got the internet these days, haven't we?
Yeah. There's never been a truer statement, Mike.
I think, part of the thing, I don't think anyone's really... See, I do have a bit of an issue in the world of Bigfoot, for want of a better word, of which I will be honest with you, I'm nobody. I'm not a name. I'm not known or anything like that. That's not humbling. That's not my hold over. I'm just not, you know? But one of the big issues that I have with it is that everyone is out to make money from it. Nobody gives a monkey's really. They care more about being the one to prove that it exists than they do about it being proven to exist.
About their own ego and their own
That is like 99% of the people in the Bigfoot world, you know? I think that anyone that says, I've got DNA samples to prove Bigfoot exists, well, you're a liar. I don't care. Come at me. You're a liar. Pure and simple, because if you gave a monkeys about proving Bigfoot to exist, that would already be known about, because you'd have taken it to a lab and you'd have had it done. And I think that the fact that there are all these sightings from around the world, no one, if we just for a moment presume they're all real, okay? Now, I don't actually necessarily believe all of them are real. Don't get me wrong. I think there's various, I think some of them are probably folkloric. I think some of them are probably the same thing as one of the others, that sort of thing. But if we just assume for a moment that they're real because they're being cited around the world, then why wouldn't anybody want to be part of it? You know? So I get that, but I don't understand why personal glory is more important when this is greater good for everybody, surely, you know?
Yeah.
Surely everybody benefits by finding out if this is real, if it's a global phenomenon.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's bigger than one person, isn't it?
For sure.
I think it would be as big as like the whole like alien first contact thing. If we actually discovered Bigfoot and could actually nail it down and go, yes, it's real. We've made contact. We have. We made an enclosure for them. You know, we made give them their own land and made them their own little, you know, thing. Is an enclosure the right word? Environment. Yeah, better word. It would be a massive thing.
It would be huge.
It really would.
I mean, going back to even referring to what you were saying earlier on about the extinction, about them being extinct, we don't know whether or not these numbers are dwindling, increasing, disappeared altogether, or anything. And one of the things that I say bothers me, because it's not like I'm lying awake at night worrying about something that I don't know if it's real or not, but certainly we should be considering, is whether or not this is something that needs looking after.
Yeah. Mm.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it endangered? Does it need some care?
Yeah, we don't want another dodo situation.
No.
Where they're just, you know, in museums and people wonder if they ever did exist or not.
I don't know of any story of people dining out on Bigfoot, though. I know that dodos were tasty and that was their problem, wasn't it?
Yeah, that is true, isn't it? Yeah.
They were fatty, from what I believe. They didn't have a lot of breasts. They were all arse.
They were a weird-looking pigeon.
In fact, I think...
That's how we like it.
dodo, I can't remember what... language it was from, but dodo was literally slang for fat ass.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't the best cut of meat.
What's the problem? You know what I'm saying? What's the problem, guys? Right? I've got a question for you, Mike.
Yep.
Before we wrap up, Is it the Patty footage? That's the classic, you know, from the
looking over the shoulder,
Bigfoot looking,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I remember seeing when I was young, like a little mini documentary about some big 6'5" guy coming out and saying it was him in a suit. What do you believe about the Patty footage? Do you think that was real, or do you think it was a guy in a suit?
I've spent most of my life thinking it was fake. Most of my life thinking it was fake. Then about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, it was just before COVID, I think, literally like months before COVID. I read a couple of pieces where one of them was by a guy who does forensic for the police and stuff, and he specializes in human gait. And he said it wasn't possible to walk across that terrain and gave lots of explanation as why. And another one was from a special effects guy in Hollywood who said that we still can't make a costume as that would be as realistic as that sort of thing. And I found them to be very compelling, and I had my mind changed, and I now believe Patty probably to be real. I think more importantly than it is the Patty footage real or not is the question, does it matter? I think regardless, I think these days, that footage is still the best piece of evidence that there is. But if it's proven to exist, or if it's proven to not exist, no one's going to change their mind. Very few people are going to change their mind. So sitting there worrying about the Patty footage, I don't think it matters anymore. I think we're beyond that. I think we've got to this point where everyone that believes it's real is going to carry on believing it's real. Everyone that believes it's fake is going to carry on believing it's fake, and they're all going to ignore the evidence in front of them. It's almost like a microcosm for Bigfoot itself.
Yeah.
That's actually a really good answer. Yeah. I'm impressed by that.
Don't tell me, Mum.
Right, so... normally we put these things to the paranormality scale, but I'm the only person that's read it, and I've not read it to you, so we actually can't do that this week. I'm going to give it a 9 on my own, just because I really enjoyed this book, and I want people to buy this. I think particularly if you're coming up on your summer holidays, it's only a quick read, but you know it definitely do you for a few hours on a sunbed next to a pool. And I think it'd be a good thing for people if they could support Mike and support us, because this will be available through a link. It will be an affiliate link. When considering the price of this book, it means we all get about 40p. So we're not robbing that much off you, Mike.
Still more than I'm getting.
okay, fair enough. Well, hopefully not when people listen to the episode and start buying the book. Oh, I do recommend it, and I'm going to recommend it to Josh. In fact, I'm handing it over to Josh.
Ready for my Bigfoot.
What we're going to do is, in a couple of months, Josh is going to do his Bigfoot presentation, and we're actually going to get to the bottom Bigfoot, Mike. Sorry, but
nope,
we're going to blow it out of the water, obviously. I'm still managed to knock the microphone, even though I've moved my microphone orientation. And then what we'll do is, if people are interested, which I'm sure they will be, me and Josh will sign it and we'll do it a giveaway. Yeah?
That's cool.
And hopefully...
I might enter myself.
Well, you can enter the giveaway. You just got to join our Discord.
And I appreciate the title, because I think Ape Men Aping Men is...
It's
fantastic.
Good. It's good, isn't it?
That's really good, man.
Thank you.
Like, I looked at the book, didn't even clock to what it was called, and then when Pirate read it out, I was like, yeah, that's actually quite good. I really like it. It's making me smile even looking at
and
it.
You will enjoy it. It's a very pragmatically written book. Mike doesn't he doesn't take sides on it. He's very much like, if you believe this, fair enough. You know, I'm not going to argue for or against it. You know, It is very well written, and it is just kind of an overview of the Bigfoot phenomena and people's reactions to it and how they portray themselves online. And, yeah, it's just a really interesting read, I find. And I think you should definitely read it before you cover Bigfoot.
I will indeed. And I actually admire people like Mike to be able to sit down and take the time to be an author and write a whole book for especially on a subject like this. It's I think it's very, very cool, man.
Yeah.
I think it's not a lot of people would have the time and the patience, no. But it shows that you're very passionate about it, and it's a lot of hard work gone into
and
this.
I think it's a good thing to read a book these days, because so much people are reliant on social media getting that instant dopamine hit from watching the next TikTok video or the next Instagram, whatever. And to actually sit down and read a book and absorb information and learn something, it's kind of a dying art, isn't it?
It is. And I've recently been reading books in the last year or so. And I can tell you, I've learned some great new words. Plethora.
You already knew that one before you started reading your Star Wars books.
Yeah, Star Wars, there's not many words that are real. So it's just made up. Bantha fodder. Does anyone know what that means?
No. But anyway, we're going to plug this book. So, yeah, go and buy it for yourself. There will be a link in the description. It will be an affiliate link. Mike's going to earn from it. We'll get, like I say, about 40p per copy. And, yeah, please do go out and buy this book and enjoy it while you're sat next to the pool this summer. And, yeah, that is our call to action, basically.
Check out our merch as well.
Thank you for coming on, Mike. Thank you for giving us your valuable time.
No problem. It's been a pleasure.
And it's been a nice little chat, really. We've had a good laugh, haven't we?
Oh, it's been great fun. It's been great.
It's given Josh plenty of food for thought for his upcoming Bigfoot episode.
Yes. I'm not going to tell you when that is, but it's in the pipeline. It's going to be a big one.
It might even be a two-parter.
Maybe three. Who knows? Who knows?
You're really pushing the boat out that time.
Well, it depends. We'll see. We'll see where I get to. We'll see what I find. There's so much with Bigfoot. It's such a big subject. And now we've got Mike's book involved as well. It's even bigger.
Yeah.
So there's going to be all kinds of different angles. You know, I'm going to have to give different sides, different
I'm
opinions.
Really challenging you now.
So it's going to be a good one. But, yeah, it'll be.
It's quite easy to do. Get two teams. One team of 10 people on one side, one team of 10 people on the other side. Just get to run at each other and see what happens.
Yes. Yeah, fight it out. Yeah, fight. Go for it. Why not?
Yeah. Logically, that's the only thing we can do for the Bigfoot episode, no?
Right, well, thank you, Mike. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
And, till next week, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta.
Bye.
When the energy is high and the music is right, pushing past your limits becomes that much easier. Take a reggaeton run or strength class on the Peloton tread, and you'll quickly see why these are the workouts you've been searching for. Every day brings new challenges from expert coaches who train and speak the same language as you do. Level up your workouts with Peloton Tread. Find your push, find your power. Peloton. Visit onepeloton.com.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.